This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Watch the new Trump budget closely today. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. President Trump's first major budget proposal will cut away at the safety net for millions who live at or below the poverty line. The budget is being released today and proposes large cuts to Medicaid as well as revamping anti-poverty programs. As Marketplace's Adam Allington reports, states will have more power to set spending priorities, but much less to spend.
As a candidate, Donald Trump promised he wouldn't cut Medicaid. This budget does exactly that by setting a per capita limit well below the amount states currently receive for Medicaid.
And would really devastate the program for everyone.
Judy Solomon is with the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities. She says the per capita formula would eliminate around $800 billion over 10 years, money states would now have to find someplace else.
Whether they're going to cut enrollment, they're going to cut benefits, they're going to cut provider payments, or make up the difference some other way.
The budget also includes $193 billion in cuts to food stamps, but Mike Tanner from the Cato Institute says states need to be forced to make tough choices, otherwise spending will always increase.
Well, it's always harder to do basic arithmetic than it is to play Santa Claus. We can promise people benefits all day.
Tanner contends that the majority of the money spent on Medicaid doesn't go to the poor, but disabled and elderly middle-class people in nursing homes. I'm Adam Allington for Marketplace.
We're watching financial markets in Europe this morning, given the terrible stream of news coming out of Manchester, England. Michael Hewson is with CMC Markets in London, and he was wrestling with this when we spoke this morning.
Financial markets, they started to become desensitized, if you like, to these sorts of events, simply because I think they're becoming a lot more common. And it's not as if here in the UK we haven't had our fair share of these sorts of events over the last 20 or 30 years.
The 100 share index in London is up 0.5%. The CAC 40 in Paris is up 0.7%. In the U.S., Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all up in the 0.2% range. The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield is down slightly at 2.25%. We're also following President Trump's proposal to shrink America's strategic petroleum reserves by half as part of his administration's budget plan. The reserve was established in 1975 as a kind of buffer to prevent oil supply shocks, originally in response to the Arab oil embargo. Supporters of a cut to the reserve argue that the U.S. doesn't need a big stockpile in today's world of cheap oil. That story will be online and in our Marketplace Midday Update podcast later today. Love it or hate it, the car service Uber is changing transportation and society. Fortune magazine's executive editor Adam Leshinsky got quality time with Uber's sometimes swashbuckling, sometimes obnoxious CEO, Travis Kalanick, as Leshinsky worked on a new book out today called Wild Ride, Inside Uber's Quest for World Domination. Adam, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, David.
Well, your hero, anti-hero, villain, I don't know, CEO, Travis Kalanick.
Central character.
Yeah, the central character. Let's call him that. There's a moment where you're traveling with him in China. He's being heralded at a business conference, but there's a chance he has to stop in South Korea, possibly to face a judge because of ongoing litigation there. His life is complicated.
Yeah, and I like the breezy way you set up the anecdote because that's sort of every day for him. I mean, one day he's meeting with the premier of China. The next day he's deciding, should I fly on a private jet to Seoul to be arrested? And if so, will the Korean prosecutors honor our agreement to let me leave? Or will I be perp walked and embarrassed in front of the entire world? And that decision was resolved. They decided not to go to Korea. And the next day he's eating an omelet, doing his email in a hotel lounge.
So this notion of there's something broken, we're going to fix it, we're going to see it a different way, is not revolutionary in Silicon Valley. But this idea that rules do not apply to the Uber crew, they've taken it to quite an extent.
Yeah, you know, my my last book was on Apple, and I had a whole section on Steve Jobs as rule breaker. It turns out Steve Jobs was kind of a piker in the rule breaker department compared to Travis Kalanick. Uber came into cities and said, we don't think these regulations match the modern world, and so we're going to ignore them. Most importantly, we're going to tell our prospective customers what we're doing. They're going to like it so much that they're going to complain to their city officials, and we're going to get those regulations changed. And over a period of 2 to 3 years, they succeeded at that more than they failed.
They still are having some trouble with their corporate culture, though. Uber is accused of having a culture that's bro-centric, where harassment is tolerated. There's, I think, an outside review that's going on about just these issues right now at Uber.
That's right. They've hired former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate their own culture.
You've witnessed that culture firsthand. I mean, is there a capacity for change?
Uber has a lot of money, and they've hired a lot of good people, and they have the capacity to professionalize. And in many parts of the company, they are quite professional, and they've accomplished amazing feats. It all comes down to what extent Travis Kalanick buys into the need for change. If he drags his heels and says, oh, I actually think we've come so far and people don't appreciate how far we've come doing it the way we're doing it, then they won't change. And we'll see how that works.
Wild Ride, Inside Uber's Quest for World Domination by Adam Leshinsky, who's executive editor at Fortune. Adam, thank you.
Thank you, David.
Now, there's a key moment in the book when Leshinsky's walking along with Kalanick in a reflective moment through the darkened streets of San Francisco. And Kalanick asks, am I an... The word he uses rhymes a bit with casserole. It's a key moment for understanding the culture of Silicon Valley. The audio of that part of the interview is included at marketplace.org. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.